Wow. I'm ready to preach now. I don't know about y'all. Y'all ready to listen? We sing like that? Woo! Open your Bibles, if you will, to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, and we're going to finish up this portion of our journey following Jesus through the Gospels, and we'll take off for a little while before we come back to this Harmony of the Gospel type sermon series. But Luke chapter 12 this morning in verses 22 through 34, as we ask the question, what are you worried about? What are you worried about? What do we have to worry about? I tell you what, I am thankful that I belong to a church where, as I'm sitting listening to a song I've never heard before, going, man, that's a good message, and these girls are singing it good, Miss Pamela's playing it good, that a friend comes over and puts his hand on my shoulders and tells me thank you for a worship service like this and a church like this. Well, let's be that sort of church, folks. You know, we could sit here with our arms folded. We could say, well, somebody didn't say hi to me. Well, did you say hi to anybody? Well, nobody said anything nice to me. Did you say anything nice to anybody? Be that church. Love people the way you want to be loved. Jesus talked about that. It's called the golden rule. Do it. Live it. Let's be it. So I want to ask you, if you're able to stand with me, to stand as we read Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verses 22 through 34. And I read from the New International. Then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and the body more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you, how much more valuable you are than birds. Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? Since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Verse 27. Consider how the lilies grow. They do not labor or spin, yet I tell you, not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, how much more will he clothe you? Oh, you of little faith. And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about it, for the pagan world runs after such things, and your Father knows that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. Verse 32. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near or no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let's pray together. God, we are so ready to hear from you today. We already have. We know your love for us, and we know the message that you have for us. And as we open your word, your special revelation to us, God, we know that you've got something more to say. But we want to prepare our hearts, God. And want to ask you, if there's anything in us that hinders the movement of your Holy Spirit right now, any fear, any worry, any unforgiveness, any bitterness, any habit of sinfulness, would we confess that to you right now? And God, we want to repent and turn from that. We do want to follow you. So would you speak to us now as your followers? We pray in Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. You'll recall what we've talked about these past few weeks if you look in your Bibles. You look back in Luke chapter 12, the earlier part, Jesus is really talking about greed. And what we see is that Jesus is turning from greed and selfishness to worry. And our passage this morning, worry is really the opposite or the other side of that coin of greed and selfishness. And so Jesus is turning that direction. One commentator said this, greed can never get enough. Worry is afraid it may not have enough. That's John Arndt. Greed can never get enough. Worry is afraid that it may not have enough. These are two sides of the same coin. Now, Jesus has addressed one after the other these concerns of his disciples and folks coming to him that really had, and this is going back to Luke chapter 11, verses 1 through 13, an erroneous perception of God's character. It was as if they thought that God didn't care, that God didn't have any desire to bless them, that God didn't want to provide for them an answer to their questions. And one way and another, Jesus is demonstrating it and is teaching it. Remember that Luke 11, 1 through 13 was about the three loaves at midnight, you know, the guy that was persistent in asking. And then there's the ask, seek, and knock that Jesus teaches there. And says, which of you, if your son asks for a fish, is going to give him a snake? Or if he asks for bread, you know, is going to give him a scorpion? That sort of stuff. Jesus is saying God is capable and committed to caring for you, his people. That's who God is. We could say it this way. Based on what my son taught me, if your need is legit, then do not quit. Ask God, keep asking God, because God hears you and God will answer your prayers. If your need is legitimate, keep on asking. Don't stop. Yet we tend to stop asking God and start worrying. Or maybe it is that we never ask God to begin with. We just go straight to worry. How many of you want to confess that this morning? Some circumstance comes up in your life, and you're like, and you're immediately thinking of all the ways you can handle it and all the ways you can deal with it. And, well, I could ask this person, or I could do that, or I could do that. And we totally forget to ask God. We think about using our hands, and we think about using our minds, but we forget about using our knees and our heart. God calls us because He loves us and He provides for us to come to Him in prayer with everything, even those things we worry about. R. Kent Hughes says that worry is the emotional reward of material preoccupation. Now, he's talking about in this regard of this passage right here. The material is the emotional reward of material preoccupation. Have you ever been materially preoccupied, thinking so much about your stuff that you worry? That's what Hughes is talking about. He also says that disbelief is the midwife of worry. Think about that one for a minute. Disbelief, the midwife of worry. How so? Because you're thinking God can't, God won't, God doesn't care. You're disbelieving in a God who will and can and does love you more than care. Disbelief's the midwife of worry. So what I'm framing up before we dive further into our scripture this morning is this idea of trusting God versus worrying for ourselves, praying to God versus acting on our own. Leon Morris says that wealth, again, the focus of this passage as it pertains to worry, wealth can represent a danger to those who have it and those who do not have it. Because if we have it, greed, selfishness, or if we don't have it, greed and selfishness, if we do have it, it can be worry. What are we going to do about it? So our passage of Scripture this morning, I've broken down into three different equations to help us understand it. And before we get there, we need to be reminded of our verse for the month. And we'll put that up there and let's say it all together. Luke 12:34. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Luke 12:34. I hope you have that memorized. I hope it's not just on Sunday morning you look at that, but you pull it out or you put it in your phone or you write it somewhere where you can memorize these scriptures And remember, this is elementary. It's Luke 1, 2, 3, 4. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Are you going to trust God for things? Are you going to do it your way and worry about it? Our scripture starts here in verse 22. Jesus said to his disciples, so he's turning from this other group and turning to speak specifically to his disciples, his followers, apprentices, or learners again. And he says in verse 24, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. He's talking about stuff. Seems like we heard that just last week, didn't we? He's talking about stuff. He's talking about it in a different way there. And then he says in verse 23, life is more than food and the body more than clothes. Yeah, it is. Life is more than that. It's nice to have food. It's nice to have clothes. But there's more to life than that. I remember when I was in college and I read a book called Man's Search for Meaning by a therapist, but a Jewish man, Viktor Frankl. I don't know if any of you have ever read Viktor Frankl's little Man's Search for Meaning. It's one of the great works of Western literature. I'd commend it to you. You wouldn't agree with Frankl theologically or even philosophically or psychologically, but there's things to learn from it. And Frankl was in a German concentration camp because he was Jewish. And what he learned in the midst of all the terrible things that happened to him, and I won't enumerate them, but they're as ugly and bad as any you've ever read, that his captors, the Germans, could do anything to his body, take everything from him, but they could not take what was inside of him. His purpose, his being, his meaning, who he was, his values. They might challenge that and try to get it, but they couldn't take it unless he gave it away to them. And I would say to you folks that with us, these things that we're tempted to worry about, that life is more than stuff. Look on in verse 24 and 25. Consider the ravens. They don't sow or reap, and they don't have storerooms or barns, yet God feeds them. And you're more valuable than the birds. Who of you by worrying could add a single hour to his life? I'm more valuable. What you remember is that God can do anything. God can do anything is what verse 26 teaches us. That since you cannot do this very little thing, why do you worry about the rest? Now, there's some debate here on that phrase, which of you by worrying can add a single hour to your life. Some translations talk about that as a period of time, a span of time. Others talk about it as a span of length, because it's used both ways, both in biblical Greek and in Koine Greek. That's the Greek that average everyday people spoke that didn't write the Bible, and that we have extra biblical sources to analyze this, right? But what it's saying is this, and a cubit, if you're reading there, even in King James, it might mention that phrase. A cubit is 18 inches. It's the span from here to here. 18 inches is a cubit, right? And Jesus says you can't add a cubit to your stature by worrying, or some translate it, you can't add a cubit, a length of time, to your life by worrying. You can't get taller, you can't live longer. Matter of fact, some of us would say, and Dr. George and others might say, well, yeah, by worrying, you might actually have a shorter life. But Jesus is saying you can't make it any longer. Why are you worrying about it? You don't have the ability to do it. And so let me sum up our equation for us. The first point on your outline, and I hope you've been taking notes. That's why you have all that space, so you can write your own notes instead of just take what I tell you. That first equation is that life plus me plus God equals don't worry. God knows all the stuff I need for my life, so I add me to life and all the stuff that makes up life. But when I add God to it, I don't have to worry. Now, if you wrote that equation differently, life plus me, and you didn't have the God part, you might want to put life plus me equals lots of worry. I mean, life plus me alone is I'm in a mess. Life plus me alone means I need help. But life plus me plus God means don't worry. Don't worry. God knows what you need. You're more valuable than the birds. Don't worry means that you'll have enough. That means that you'll have all you need. It means God's got it. It means that you can have faith and not doubt. God will provide for you. That's what the scripture is talking about. You know, some of us in our life, it's like we walk up to a door and there's, just a knob on the door. And we think, oh, I'll try that doorknob. Oh, it's locked. Well, maybe I'll see if one of the keys I have fix it. No, this key doesn't. You know, you go through all the keys in the ring. We don't realize that on the other side of the door, not only is there a doorknob, but there's a deadbolt and another deadbolt, one of those big bar things, you know, some chains and all kinds of stuff like that. Because God's on the other side of the door going, this isn't for you. This is not my will for you. This door that you're trying every key in every way, and then, you know, you get out the pry bar and you're going, God, I really want what's on the other side of that door. And God's in there going, no, you don't want what's on the other side of this door. And he's got it all deadbolted and barred and locked and everything like that. And we're trying to get through and we're worried about it. And God's saying, I've got it. Don't worry. Trust me. Let's go on and look at our passage of Scripture. In verse 27, it says, consider how the lilies grow. They don't spin. Yet Solomon in all his splendor isn't dressed like one of these. And they're gone today, or here today and gone tomorrow, that phrase. Oh, you of little faith. Jesus calls us out there. I've got to have faith to know that God will take care of me. God knows my needs is what it says in verse 29. Don't set your heart on what you'll eat or drink. Doesn't mean that you shouldn't be interested in what you eat or drink. God gave us taste buds. Just like last week when I said that Scripture doesn't teach we shouldn't have stuff. We shouldn't have nice stuff or we shouldn't have lots of stuff. It's just that our stuff shouldn't have us, right? This Scripture doesn't teach that you shouldn't like to eat or you shouldn't like to drink or you shouldn't enjoy it or shouldn't take time to prepare it. God's given us the amazing ability, and now we got Pinterest, right? I mean, you know, so we can learn all sorts of great recipes. And if you don't have that, then you got a friend in Pampered Chef, and they can teach you some more stuff too and make it easier for you. And that's all good because God gave us taste buds so we could enjoy. We can enjoy the preparation of it. We can certainly enjoy the consumption of it. We just don't enjoy the results sometimes, right? Thank you. God gives us these things, and he knows that we need them. We just don't need to be caught up in them. Verse 30, the pagan world runs after such things, but your Father knows that you need them. What's it say there? But seek his kingdom first, and these things will be added to you as well. Will be given to you as well. I'm saying it like Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all these things will be added to you. It's a parallel passage to this one. Seek God's kingdom first. So that brings us to our second equation. Equation number two is that faith, Jesus said, oh, you have little faith, plus need, whatever you're going to eat, whatever you're going to drink, plus God equals, say it out loud, don't worry. Let's do better than that. Equals what?
Don't worry.
Which can be paraphrased to be, God's got it. Have faith. Trust him. I mean, any other phrase you want to throw in there to substitute for don't worry, you can write your own equation. This is just the way I saw it. Faith plus my need plus God equals don't worry. So let's dial it back from the material possessions. Let's say your issue is a bunch of issues in your life. Imagine your issues, if you will, as a gigantic warehouse full of boxes. And you've got all this stuff you need to get out of your life. And you know, this one here is not too big. You can reach over and grab it. You can say, okay, throw that one in the trash. This one over here is a little bit bigger. That one doesn't need to go in the trash. Hey, I'm going to throw that over there. But then you come to this gigantic, enormous something or other, and you can't get it on your own. Maybe it's something that happened to you in your past. Maybe it's something that seems to dominate your future because it hurts so much. Something somebody's done to you that they shouldn't have done. Something you've done to someone that you shouldn't have done. And it seems so enormous that there's no way that you can lift it, no way you can push it, no way you can drag it. On your own, you are helpless. Faith plus need plus who? So who do you ask for help with something that's so big you can't move it yourself? That's faith. That's when you say, God, I could do these things, but God, that thing is too big for me to do. God, I'm going to have faith that you will move it, that you will take it away from me. And you know those things that are so big? For most of us have nothing to do with food or clothes. Those things that are so big have something to do with something that's happened within us in a relationship. Something that has happened socially or psychologically, emotionally or spiritually. Something that is so big that we can't seem to move it. A barrier to our faith and to our growth. Something that it seems like a burden that drags us down and keeps us anchored to one place because we can't go because it's so big. And who do we need to call in those instances? God. And we need to say, God, I can't. You can. I don't need to worry about this. I don't need to try to do things about this. I need to pray about it and ask God to move it or remove it or change what is in me. Leon Morris said this. He says, Jesus commands, not advises, his followers not to worry. Worry is a great inhibitor of action. To live in worry is to miss what life is all about. To live in worry is to miss what life is all about. Imagine that thing again that's so big that you can't move it, but you're afraid of what it's going to do to you, and all you're doing is fretting about that thing and trying to move that thing, and all your mind and your effort and your energy emotionally and physically is consumed with this thing, and all along you're missing everything else that God has for you in life. That's what Morris is saying. Worry is a great inhibitor of life. We don't live the life God intends when we're dominated by worry. So what do? We have whatever our need is. We add to it God. We add to it our faith, however small. And then we don't worry. Because God's got it. He can handle it. He's big enough. He loves us. He cares for us. He can. He will. That's the God we serve. Let's move on. Move on in verse 32. Don't be afraid, little flock. Melanie's pastor of her home church, Brother Billy Burkett, makes me want to cry just mentioning his name, a godly man. Someday I want to grow up to be a pastor like that. Brother Billy, after he retired from Melanie's church, you know, old preachers never retire. They just go somewhere else to preach. But he retired from getting paid, maybe, and moved and pastored a little church called Little Flock. I thought, well, that's a sad thing to name a church. You're saying you're going to be little forever. But that's not why they're called Little Flock. Why are they called Little Flock? Because Scripture uses the term. This is the one and only time in the New Testament this phrase, Little Flock, is used. And it's not a derogatory phrase at all. It's a phrase of endearment, of relationship. And so Jesus says to his disciples, his little flock that is with him at that time, do not be afraid, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Well, they're probably going, hey, where's the kingdom? I mean, we have the clothes on our backs. We don't even have really houses right now. We're following you around wherever you teach and do miracles, Jesus. Where's the kingdom? We're expecting some kingly blessings. You know, Jesus, I would really like a chariot and maybe some gold jewelry, some really nice robes. I mean, they're expecting maybe that kind of kingdom, but Jesus isn't talking about that kind of kingdom. He's talking about a spiritual kingdom, not a physical kingdom. Go on. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out. What? Hang on. Purses for ourselves that won't wear out? What does this mean? A treasure in heaven that will not be exhausted, where no thief comes near, nor no moth destroys. For your treasure is there, your heart will be also. If we think about it, we begin to see the word picture here. The purse that won't wear out is your heart. And the treasure that won't be exhausted is God's kingdom within it. Like Viktor Frankl discovered in the German concentration camp, nobody can take that away from you. And you know what? When you give of God's kingdom and when you give of God's love, God gives you more that you might give more. It's never exhausted. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Isn't that amazing? That God provides supernaturally. I think what we learn is that God gives us everything we need. It just may not come in the way we imagine. Pastor Stephen Furtick, and I don't agree with everything that Pastor Stephen Furtick teaches, but man, there's a lot of stuff that he lays down that I say, wow. He wrote recently about strange packaging, and I want to read this to you because I can't say it any better. He says, sometimes God interrupts our prayers in strange ways. So imagining you're praying for one thing, and it seems like God interrupts it, right? Sometimes as you pray for something and God gives it to you, but the package does not look like what you prayed for. Let me give you examples. You prayed for humility, you got demoted. You prayed for contentment in Christ, you stayed single longer than you wanted. You prayed for the ability to love unconditionally, you married someone who was imperfect that made it impossible. You prayed for God to be enough. You were put in bleak circumstances where He had to be enough. You prayed for increased faith and you found yourself in a situation that sure required it. You prayed for patience. You got in-laws. This might tempt you not to pray for things, but would that be your loss, not your gain. Furtick says, I love 2 Peter 1:18. Peter tells us that if we possess qualities like those above, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. The package might not look like you thought it would, but it's going to help you to become the person that you should. Strange packaging. You're praying for this over here and you want this thing to be taken out of your life, or you want God to answer a prayer that's so big that you can never do it on your own. And God does answer, but it doesn't look like you expect it to. And you're kind of like, that can't be the answer I was looking for. But if it changes your heart and who you are and makes you more like Jesus, of course it is. Let's look at the last point on our outline. The last point on our outline tells us that anything plus God is Don't worry. Anything you have, any need, any concern, any worry, any fear, any doubt, you add God to it, you don't need to worry about it. You can have faith that God will answer, that God will provide. It may not be the answer that you're praying for if your prayer is not in alignment with God's will. It may not be the answer that you expect because God may put that answer in strange packaging. But anything plus God means don't worry. What we learn from this passage of Scripture is exactly what Jesus has been trying to teach from Luke 11, verse 1. That God is capable and committed to provide everything you need anytime you need it. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we've opened your words and you've spoken to us by your Holy Spirit. And I know that all of us walk in with different fears or apprehensions, concerns, and worries. And we bring them to you. And we say, God, would you answer like this scripture teaches, that you're capable, that you're committed, that we don't need to worry, because when we add you to anything, we've got it, if it's according to your will. So God, our Father, we come to give you our burdens, the relationships that we don't think can change, the lives that unless you change their direction, they're hopeless and going down a dead end. The habits that have got such a hold on us, they're so wicked and sinful that we shudder if anyone else in this room would know that we are involved. You alone can break that. You alone can move that. God, whatever it is that is bigger than we can, nothing is bigger than you. So we give all our worries, all our fears, all our concerns, all our needs to you, God. And we ask you, would you answer for your glory and your name's sake, that we might see again how much you love us and praise you. We thank you, God, that you hear our prayers. We pray that if there's a soul here that doesn't know, that is old enough, but has not yet professed their faith in Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that they would make that decision today, that whatever is in the way of that, they'd give it to you in faith. They'd stop worrying, start walking. And God, we pray that if we do know you and we are Christ followers, but something's held us back, that we would give it to you today in faith and stop worrying, start trusting. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.